This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's Talk Tech with Mike Agarbo. Mike is the host of The App Show, which you can hear Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio, and he joins us this morning from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So, Mike, changes are coming to some of Apple's mobile devices with the announcement that Siri is no longer going to defer automatically to a female voice. So, Mike, why is Apple making this decision?
Well, I think they're trying to not be, I guess, so misogynist. They are basically in the next rollout of their latest iOS not defaulting to a female voice in Siri. You will be able to choose between a male or female voice, depending where you are. I think there's up to six different accents available in English coming up.
Oh, Mike, tell me about some of these accents. What are my options? Can I choose New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern?
Something like that. Okay. Yes. I think there's an English accent, an Indian English accent as well. So you do have a lot of choices. So it's interesting. The United Nations released a report saying that these voice assistants aren't a good thing, basically because it perpetuates the feeling and image of women being just subservient and docile. Servants, digital servants to people. So they're encouraging all the digital assistants to come in male or female voices.
There I see. I just perpetuated it right now. I just walked into it talking about Jacinda Ardern. Maybe I should have said Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, and I would have been safer there. Mike, when's the change going to be taking effect?
I believe it's going to be coming out in the latest version of iOS. I think it's in the beta 14.5. So we'll be seeing this in the coming months, essentially.
Mike, we know that, for example, with Google, the default voice is also a woman's voice. I'm curious, are other tech companies considering taking similar steps?
Yeah, I haven't heard official news, but I'm sure that the others will be looking at, changing their ways as well. So, if you look at it, obviously there's Apple with Siri, Google has their assistant, and there's also Amazon Alexa as well. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they roll out something like this.
Speaking of the Google, it's refreshing its Nest Hub smart display with a reduced cost and a couple new features. So one of these new features is called sleep sensing. How does that work?
This is interesting. I've tried this out for a couple of weeks now. Essentially, Google is trying to make their new Google Nest Hub second generation a must-have in your bedroom nightstand as well. So it's got a built-in Soli sensor. And this will actually monitor your sleep.
Oh, great.
So it can actually, I know it's crazy. It's so sensitive. It can actually measure your respiration rate. And also with the built-in microphone, it can also measure how long you're snoring each night and how long you're coughing for. It's spooky accurate too. The snoring, I found out I snore about 5 out of the 6 hours that I sleep. My wife said, you don't need to spend $130 to tell me that. I already knew that.
Yeah, you already could have gotten some real world data on that one without necessarily giving that one away to Google. The joke's on them, Mike. I don't have a night's table. So joke's on Google. Won't work for me. What are some of the other new features of the device?
With that Soli sensor, you're also able to use your hands for gestures. So this is interesting. When your alarm goes off in the morning, you can basically just wave your hand over it to snooze, which is a nice feature.
Dangerous.
You don't have to touch this.
Dangerous,
touch dangerous, like
dangerous, Mike. If I don't need to touch anything, I'm just going to be waving like a madman.
Yeah, it also ties in with all your smart home technology as well. So it can control your smart lights and smart vacuums. Again, it's got the same features as the other digital assistants previous to it. You can tie in your music subscription. You can watch Netflix on it as well. And because it's Google, you can ask it just about anything.
Wait, Mike, have they figured out what I've been demanding for years, which is when I wave my hand or I hit the snooze alarm that it automatically starts my coffee machine? Because that's the million-dollar idea.
That is a great idea. I'm sure there's some way to figure that out. I'll have to look into that.
There you go. So now I just gave it to you. So, you know, I expect a small commission on that. It's like Dragon's Den over here. Mike, what about, speaking of cash money, what about the price? What are we looking at here in terms of a price tag?
It's actually pretty reasonable. I think it's coming in around $130. So it's a nice little unit. It's got the 7-inch screen on it. And great in the kitchen, family room, or like Google wants up on your bedroom nightstand as well.
Mike, my other million-dollar idea is about a GPS-enabled golf ball. I know they've tried a couple of times with not a lot of success, but if for a blind golfer like myself, if I didn't need someone else to track the ball for me, we'd really be in business. Mike, what about the availability? When's this new Smart Nest supposed to release?
It's released a couple of weeks ago, so it's available now. And I think three different designer colors as well.
Excellent. Okay. Well, there's a nice option there. Folks are looking for a Mother's Day or a Father's Day gift or a birthday gift around this time of the year. Mike, one more topic to discuss here, and that's the Swiss startup Uvea. And they're going to be looking at a new robot armed with virus-killing ultraviolet light that is being tested on Swiss airplanes. So tell us about Uvea.
Yeah, this is an interesting kind of cart that they'd be going down the aisles with. It's kind of like in a crucifix configuration, but basically bathing the entire plane, all the seats, the floors, and this ultraviolet light that's supposedly able to kill all types of pathogens and viruses as it goes through the plane. So obviously people are going to be a little paranoid about traveling over the next year, you know, as soon as that opens up a little more. So I guess this is an attempt to allay some of those fears.
So Mike, congratulations. You've just graduated from Dave Brown Med School. So you're now Dr. Mike Agarbo. How does the ultraviolet light kill viruses?
Well, I'm not a scientist, Dave, but from what I've read, it basically breaks them down and renders them inert. Again, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know the exact science way it breaks it down, but apparently it does kill off a lot of these pathogens. It's an interesting technology.
Rejecting the honorary doctorate from Brown State University.
I'm rejecting
smart,
it, yes.
Smart. You don't want to be an honorary wildebeest. I understand. Mike, it's still in the trial stages here, but what airlines are going to be involved in the testing?
Well, apparently some Swiss airlines right now. One of them is called Helvetica. I haven't flown that airline before. I think it might be a private airline, but it is got a hefty price tag on it. I think it's coming in just over $15,000 US. Oof. So as you can imagine, if you had to outfit a fleet of planes, you know, with that type of tool, it would get pretty expensive for the airlines.
And what about the accuracy? I mean, that's obviously a fundamental part of this, right? That it's all well and good to say you're killing viruses, but how accurate is it going to be?
I don't know the answer to that yet. We'll have to see, you know, if they do some studies on it going down the road. But, you know, they have used ultraviolet light technology before, you know, in other environments, in airports and hospitals, and it seems to be effective there. I think one of the challenges that they may have is that apparently it potentially fades the cloth on the seats.
Mike, I know you've had to travel quite a bit for work over the years, not so much in the last year. Do you miss the airplane experience?
I kind of do. I miss travel. You know, I did a lot of travel for, you know, our Get Connected show and the app show. So I'm looking forward to get back to travel and seeing some exotic destinations again. I'm not overly worried about, you know, the surfaces on the plane, just knowing what little I know about the COVID-19 virus and how it's spread. So I don't know how well this will take off or not, so to speak.
It's a good pun. I like that. Yeah, I'm also looking forward to a bit of traveling. The exotic place that I have on my map is actually Vancouver, BC. So maybe we'll cross paths when and if it's safe to do so.
Come on down.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it. All the best to you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.